Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
If you, dear listener, would like to help The Instance out, you can do it. Financially, even at patreon.com/frogpants. And if you like shows like this and others on the Frog Pants Network, it's really a great way to give back. That's patreon.com/frogpants. And thanks. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 488. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, everyone.
What's going
on?
How
are you doing?
What's going on, man? We missed you. Condolences to you and your family for your dad's loss. But I know you you probably had some good time to sort of reflect and get away. And now you're playing Diablo while we speak.
Possibly, yeah. It was, you know, it was a rough couple of weeks, 3 weeks. But I have to say, as I said in a couple of other shows, video games helped, you know, wanting to get away for a little bit, playing some Overwatch, some Diablo, some other stuff. And it's the kind of, giant head on the video. What's happening?
I fixed it. It's a Skype changed their display thing with their recent update, and it's super annoying. So now when there's only one person on, it blows your head way up, but you're fine.
You okay, thank you. Well, that was an appropriate conclusion to that conversation. Let's move on to video game stuff.
Let's talk about Patrick's big head. We missed having you here, obviously. Last week I was in Vegas. That's why there was no show. I went there on vacation with my wife, had a great time, and met up with some listeners, hung out a little bit. Always
excellent episode with Russell, by the way.
Oh,
really
thanks.
Enjoyed that.
Thanks, I did too. It was fun. It was fun to do. And people are like, oh, I'm so glad you planned to talk about each intro and what the differences were. And I have a confession to make.
It wasn't planned.
I winged that. We got in there and we knew we were just going to wing this conversation because that's how Russell and I do it. But when I got in, I went, you know what? There's something I've always wanted to know. This is all in my head. I want to know kind of what his take on these different things are. And so I just had them all handy and played them as we went. And it all sounded planned, but it wasn't. It was all just,
you know what? It's almost like you're used to doing podcasting and you kind of have a knack for it.
It is almost like that. Almost though. Like. Not entirely, but almost. Anyway, we missed you terribly, but a lot has happened in the world of Blizzard since we last spoke. Certainly Warcraft.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was a few days ago I realized what Blizzard is in April, like what's happening in Blizzard games in April. Mm-hmm. You have 7-2 in WoW. You have Ungoro in Hearthstone.
Yep.
The Necro Beta in Diablo, 2.0 in Heroes, yep, and Uprising in Overwatch, and even in StarCraft, the original, you know, StarCraft. And Brood War are free now, and there's the remaster coming later. But this month, it just became free.
There was even a video of a guy who did a speed run of Diablo 2 and did it in, oh, I forgot the time. It was real short though, and did it
like
without
the full game?
It was pretty short, but he never hit a single mob. He did a total pacifist run through Diablo 2, and he did it.
How can you? Like, what? How do you deal with the bosses if you don't?
So he was a character, and I forgot which character he was, but he was a character that has some natural sort of thorns abilities, like stuff where if they hit you, you die.
So it's not quite the pacifist run. It's the passive aggressive run.
Yeah, like, it's the passive aggressive. Exactly.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching
That's
you.
That's a really good point. It's like being on fire and saying, I didn't burn him, he touched me. It's like,
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
But he did this whole, and I watched some of the video, and he went through the whole game like this, and his gear obviously was all, you know, the gear he would equip all the time and try to have drop in the game was gear that would enhance this sort of, if you touch me, you're going to die sort of thing.
Right.
He died a bunch of times, so it's not like he went through this thing unscathed, but made it all the way through that game in, like, record time, and it was crazy. So just that's even just a little extra thing. All this Blizzard stuff just, like, on top of everything all month. which has been great. I mean, I don't have any, I don't have a single complaint. I may have one complaint. One tiny complaint.
I don't have a single complaint. Okay, I may have one.
Yeah, I may have one, and I'll discuss it. All right, this is the appropriate place to bring it up. I don't think 7.2 is all that great. It's okay. It's not like, it's not bad. It's just kind of more, you know, gated content, and it's, you know, grinding to open stuff up, and I'm not sure that I like the look of the Broken Shore stuff. It's all very sort of dark and purple and green, and
yeah,
it's just not, it's not doing it for me. And I know I'm not alone, but I'm sure there are plenty who like it. So I'm not trying to make a judgment for everybody here. I just, my own personal sensibilities have not been, how do I put it? I've not been, you know, compelled so much to continue working in there real hard. I've gotten kind of, you know, again, other Blizzard games have sidetracked me as a result, but the WoW content has not been the thing in April that's drawn me at all.
So you're not the first person to say this. And I'm curious because, as we mentioned, I've been preoccupied by other things. And so I haven't even launched WoW. Like I naturally went to games that were smaller, easier sessions, mm-hmm. ended up spending, you know, 5 hours in them. So it doesn't make sense, but still. And so I'm not sure exactly what the problem is, because looking at it from the outside, it seems like a huge amount of content and, you know, some very interesting one. You have like the personal, like the class quests that lead you to a mount, and you have the specific isle with some fun invasions. And so I guess I'm wondering, is it that the content isn't great, or is it that it's just the same for as the beginning of the expansion, and like, all right, I've done this now. I don't need to do it again, kind of.
I think there's a piece of that here. I don't think you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I think maybe part of it, too, is I'm perfectly willing to look at myself in the mirror and say that I'm part of the problem. And part of the problem being I'm to the point in the life cycle of the game where repetitive stuff is just not doing it for me anymore. And I ebb and flow on that, right? I might come back to that and go, oh, no, I love grinding this stuff out. Like when we first got World Quests, I couldn't have been happier. I just loved, I freaking loved that. And I loved it, kept doing it. And then about day 18 or so, you're like, ooh, I've done this one 18 times. I don't know if I want to do this one again. And so you start to hit that wall a little bit. And I think I hit that quicker than many. Plus, I like to play like a lot of video games. I play a ton of indie games, and I play a lot of other Blizzard games, of course. And as a result, I feel like I'm always looking for that next high a little bit. And I'm not so much...
And you've grown a kind of a tolerance to WoW goodness.
Yeah.
Like, so it doesn't affect you as much.
Yeah. Like, let's put it in a real world scenario. Pot's not doing it for him anymore, so I had to get into the hard heroin. All right. That's not a good example.
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting, because that's the sentiment we had, not the drug thing, but like the, all right, we've done this with Warlords. It was... You know, we were nonstop for the first couple of months, and then it got a little bit tiring. And when Legion came out, we were like, this is the best thing ever. And we didn't think it was going to produce the same effect.
Right.
And it seems like it kind of is. So I'm wondering whether the quality of the expansion, because Legion is definitely an incredible expansion, and we played it, as you mentioned, nonstop for like 2 or 3 months.
Right.
And still it's kind of, okay, we've done this. And I'm pretty sure I will come back to it at some point, as I did with Warlords. If you remember when the Legion hype started, I got back into Warlords and couldn't stop playing for 2 months, kind of like in the beginning. And mm-hmm. I grinded everything, and I got my flying and like all of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it's not just that Warlords had this or that feature that was a little bit less repetitive friendly. It might be that it's just the world of WoW expansions now. You play them for 2 or 3 months, and unless you're like way more hardcore than we are, which, you know, we are probably some of the most hardcore people, mm-hmm. or maybe we've been hardcore for like 5 years, so now we're not so much anymore.
Yeah.
So unless you're that, you're like, okay, I get the expansion and I'll come back later.
That's a definitely a big part of this. Like, we're talking about an 11 plus year old game where they amaze me what they're able to squeeze out of it, right? Like, every time a new expansion comes out, especially with Legion, I still say Legion's my favorite expansion.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's amazing. So I'm not having...
But that's the thing. Because we think it's our favorite expansion, it would hold that we would play it nonstop for 2 years, right? But it's not happening.
And it's not happening. And I think that if this was 2007, that would be happening. Like, that's all I'd want to do all day, every day, forever. I think that we've been in it for so long... And I guarantee they talk about this at Blizzard. I guarantee this is a subject, right? It has to come up because they can only do so many things to enhance what the engine itself is even capable of in terms of mechanics or new ways of playing it that aren't just kill this, kill that, get some stuff, go buy a thing, get the thing, do the thing. You know, like it's kind of starting. You're starting to see the things that it can do. I mean, you're starting to see the maximum things it can do. We're seeing our outer edges of what this game is physically capable of doing. And I don't just mean, they're not, cutting edge graphics with shaders and, people using your GTX 1080s.
They're finding new and interesting systems basically every time. Sometimes they work better than others, but it's not like, it's always press your buttons and do your rotation to kill the dude. But
And that's fine. And like I said, I think they're geniuses for what they milk out of it. And I don't mean that in a negative way. They're able to take a fairly rudimentary system and add on to it in a way that is brilliant. And they do this with all their games. So this is not a negative thing. It's just that I think that if you play a game for that long and you've seen every part of it all the way through, you start to go, all right, well, what else do you have? And again, not as a negative. It's not on Blizzard to make sure that my sense of muscle memory and repetitiveness is satiated all the time. Like it kind of is,
but I mean, honestly, I think the weirdest thing is that a similar expansion would have held our attention for longer 5 years ago.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not sure I understand why, beyond the fact that we've been doing this for 11 years now. So it holds our attention for 2 or 3 months and then we go to something else. Yeah. And maybe concurrently, there are so much more to do in the gaming world that maybe that also doesn't help.
I think that's a huge part of it. Like, for me in particular, so this is my own personal take, and Patrick may share in this, but this is, not subscribing this to everybody else, but I'm just saying, not subscribing, prescribing this for everyone else.
I'm subscribed to what now? I didn't want that magazine. I'm not interested in Weapons Utah Daily.
Scott. No, you're getting it's the dirty porny ones that come in the
those bag. Are interesting.
Yeah. It's in the paperback, so you can't tell what it is until you open it. It's fine. But anyway, so I think what it is every week there's some 5 to 10 things that come out that interest me, and I'm like, ooh, look at this weird twin stick shooter I want to try, or look at this weird indie thing, or this new Ron Gilbert point-and-click adventure game, like his old LucasArts games. I want to try that out. Like, that is a constant deluge. And I'm interested in all of it. I love it all. I love video games. I want to play, I can't wait for Mario Kart next week. Totally stoked. Can't wait for Heroes 2.0 next week. Totally stoked. Like, there's all these things I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And when Warcraft 7.2 hit, I was stoked. I got in and I played a ton. I played, almost only that for a few days. And then I just went, all right, some of this is kind of the same. And how much time do I have? All right, I got an hour. I bet I could just go do some bounties in season 10 of Diablo. And that's going to give me the drug I want quicker. And I can get out of here because I've got this dinner at 7. You know what I mean? Like, it's just this lifestyle thing that has shifted in 10 years. It's just, I don't know if I have what it takes to be a 10-hour straight MMO player anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just... I'm just laughing because the comparison between WoW and drugs used to be like a serious PR problem back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, it was a real problem. So we're like,
like anything.
So it's bringing back memories.
Yeah, you were media.
But I completely understand. I think this is pretty appropriate because ultimately, whether it's, WoW or something else or even a movie, you're looking for something that gives you some fun. And if it's because you've done it a few times, it's not as much fun, then yeah, you're not going to keep doing it.
Yeah, and don't forget, and keep in mind, other MMOs aren't filling that void. Every once in a while, I get a little hankering for like, oh, I'll go see how Elder Scrolls is doing, and it turns out it's doing real well. It's nice. It's a good game, but I still get in there a little bit and go, yeah, but this is just sort of going to go fetch a deal and do a thing, and if I'm going to do that, I may as well be in WoW doing it, you know? Like, there's And there's a lot of, you know, free-to-play or otherwise available MMO experiences that don't compel me the way WoW does, but even then, I feel like I'm just either needing more, or in some cases, I need less, like finding out what it takes to get, you know, the pathfinding achievement in this one and get flying is right. going to be... I look at the list and just go, oh, shit. I don't want to do this right now. And it's not that it's bad or it isn't well gated or content wise. All that stuff's great. They're masterful at this stuff. There's no question about it. It's just not matching up with my puzzle piece right now.
I think if you've gotten to a point where you don't really enjoy the moment to moment gameplay, like the actual pressing of the buttons, mm-hmm. right? What mm-hmm. you're actually doing when you're, when you're playing the game, the rotation, the mob killing and everything, then it's really difficult. You're probably not going to enjoy the overarching objectives, like the pathfinding and all of the other stuff and the reputation. And obviously, that's something you can only be excited about if you're having fun killing those mobs one after the other.
Yeah.
So I think that might be, obviously you're not going to be excited about this if you're thinking, well, I could go play my Diablo character, which I like, or I could do a few games of Heroes or test out Genji or, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And those games, by the way, have the same problems ultimately. I mean, they can, if you play nothing but nonstop Diablo, you're going to get to a point where you're like, I can't play Diablo for a while. I got to get away from this.
Oh, yeah. So, no, of course. I mean, I hadn't played Diablo, I think, in a year or two.
Oh, man.
Something like that. And I think, you know, we talked about this on the show when there was the event, the Diablo, you know, the old school Diablo 1 event thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I played through it. I went to the end of the dungeon of the cathedral, and I thought it was kind of dumb. You know, it was okay. It was like, all right, you know, I played Diablo in weird pixelated mode, and I looked at, I mean, we can talk about this when we go to the Diablo section, but yeah, and I hadn't been excited about Diablo for a long time, and now it's all I'm playing for, you know, the past couple of weeks, and it will last a week or two, and after that, I will go to something else, just like for Warlords, you know, I came back for the Legion hype and played nothing else for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it's natural. It's just surprising, you know, because we had been playing WoW for what, 6, 7, 8 years nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's surprising that we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be because it's weird to be doing
it. The turning point for me was probably Warlords, and Warlords just got to that faster. Like, it got to that malaise moment much quicker for me than any expansion had previous to this. And I think that was the primary thing. If it was possible at that time to cut through all the online vitriol of why people didn't like Warlords, I think it kind of boiled down to that. It got to the mundane much faster than previous content had. And Legion is much more like previous content in that it doesn't really have that problem. But, you know, I find myself getting nostalgic. Like, I was talking with Russell in that interview. I get nostalgic for, like, you know, Pandaria all the time. And the truth is, what did I like about Pandaria? I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. I just have a lot of nostalgia for it. I loved it. And I don't know why. At the time, I was also bored with, like, dailies at the end. They were killing me at the end of that thing. That was a horrible end of expansion, I thought. Bad tail end of an expansion, in my opinion. But it doesn't matter. Like, our memories are weird. Like, we all look back on Wrath of Lich King, it's so good, you know. But we all hit these walls eventually.
I think in Pandaria, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's the most obvious thing. But the setting was really... That's what I remember when I think about Pandaria. You know, not so much the systems, but really the setting, which at the time, that's what the dev team and what at at Blizzard, we were telling, you know, the community, it was like, you can't really be going at 11 all the time, like with every game having the bad guy who's going to destroy the entire planet for every expansion. It's kind of dumb. It doesn't, you know, you get fatigued.
Yeah.
But it turned out that I think it was very accurate, because for Pandaria, what I remember fondly, at least, is the serene panoramas and the beautiful vistas and the even the ridiculous Pandaren that are telling you, you know, how did they put it? Like, go slow, don't be so fast, like, don't be in a rush to get to level,
yep,
to max level and start doing your dungeons. That was, I don't know, I appreciated that.
Yeah.
That's what stays with me.
I agree. I think that's a huge part of it, if I'm being honest, like why I'm so drawn to it and why I listen to the music more now and all that stuff. I think back on it. Plus, it, you know, it had like family and freaking blowing monkey kings away and stuff. That was great. You know, it was a good time. Oh,
thank God you said away at the end of that sentence.
Yeah, good thing Skype could have really played a joke on us right there and cut me off, which would have been bad. Anyway, I did want to mention that this new Anduin Broken Shore cinematic is pretty awesome. And
So I didn't watch it because I didn't want to spoil myself. But and again, thank God I said spoil and not soil.
Yeah.
But so what is it like? Should I watch it? Is
every
it
time you see Anduin, you soil yourself when you see the young king boy king. Yeah, no, I don't think it's spoiling.
Is it the boy wolf?
It's not. Oh, like, no, I don't know what they call him. What do they call him? They call him the weird kid. The weird kid. That's it. Anyway, he's him showing up while Greymane and Velen are hanging out by the where Varian died. Again, that's I guess a spoiler.
That's emotional.
It is. So where he turned into blue mist, they're standing there talking about stuff. And then Anduin shows up and they're mad. Well, Greymane's a little mad. He's like, you shouldn't be here. We don't want you in harm's way or whatever. And he says, I needed to be here. And he walks over there and hangs out and looks at the place and finds his dad's sword and all that kind of stuff. So it's emotional and cool. I don't think it spoils anything. It's basically just the passing of the mantle moment where you realize Anduin.
If it did, then you just did. So,
well, yeah, I guess I just kind of did, but there is a moment where you get kind of I don't know if it was a flashback, but it kind of reminded me when, Arthas is laying in the arms of King Tyrion or King Taranis? What was his name? Anyway, whatever.
I think it's Taranis, yeah.
His dad. My son. That guy.
Mm. You know, I kept... never mind.
What? That's
personal. Never mind.
No. All this stuff is probably hitting closer to home for you. It even does for me when I think about my dad. But there's this moment where Varian sort of dreamlike standing there, kind of helping pass the mantle on. And again, it doesn't spoil any... You're going to want to watch it for yourself, but this doesn't spoil any big story points or anything. But it's like he's sort of talking from beyond, and he, you know, essentially tell, I forget the words, but it's essentially, you know, Anduin, you're in charge now or whatever. And and he hands him his son.
Maybe those are the words.
They might actually
Anduin,
be.
You're in charge now.
Anduin, you're in charge. I'm out. And he takes off. But he does
and
it.
And he takes off to the Nexus.
But it's Chris.
All right. Where's the party?
What hit me, though, is it's Chris Metzen's voice as Varian, which has been true for a long time for Varian. He does Thrall as well. But Metzen, who also left the company. Well, didn't leave the company. Not that Varian left the company. But Metzen left the company a while ago, you know, retired. And we had an interview here on the show with him about it and all that. This felt very poetic. It was like Chris Metzen handing his quote-unquote sword down to those who are taking over for him. And it really hit me. Like, I went, oh, this is way... I don't know if they meant that or if they intended that, but I sure came away with that feeling of, like, this is Metzen passing the mantle down to those who would take over for him. And it was pretty poetic and well done. So anyway... Off Anduin goes with a renewed sense of duty and kingship. So there's that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's good. You should watch it. It's nothing that spoils the content of the game, I guess I should say.
Right. It's not like all of a sudden it's an oh my god moment with something that happens. No. It's
there's no surprises. It's all like, it's pretty, you know, standard tropey stuff, but it's effective. I liked it a lot. And I don't like Anduin, so it's nice to like him a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he does seem a little bit, I don't know, he's not whiny, but he's kind of, I don't know, he's a little bit annoying. Like, he feels like an annoying teenager.
A little bit.
And I know he's been, like, very adult for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, since Myst, he was like, oh, we should be peaceful and good people. And like, but it's like, all right, the game is called Warcraft, dude. Let's not get too excited with this peace stuff.
Yeah. Mr. Pacifist over there. He's definitely got a new tone to him. And boy, I'll tell you who's grumpy, though. Greymane is a grumpy old sack.
He seems very grumpy.
Yeah, he's like, damn it, you're not smart to be here. He's just constantly complaining, and I get it. He's seen some stuff. I get it, but woo.
Yeah, and he's like those undead stole my lunch once, and I hate them ever since. So I get it. But
him and Jaina, they're both just big old chips on their shoulders right now. Mm. I don't know we have no resolution on Jaina and her pissiness. We got to get somewhere with her soon or else I'm going to lose it because I need to know where she's going to be at.
We all know she's kind of a, like, what, not edgelord, but demon lord thing.
You think so? You think she's going to turn out to be, all right.
It's so like, you know, on the nose. It's like she was super nice and cool, Jaina. And then, yes, they got attacked by the, you know, they had the mana bomb thing and whatever. But then she paints her nails black and she's all like, oh, I hate everyone and I cut myself. And like, it's so,
yeah,
it's a little bit too much.
She's pretty angsty. You can't click on her without her going, bah, 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 bah. She just yells at you every time. For Theramore! Like, it's like, no, I'm just here to do a quest. For Theramore!
Let's put it like that. If she doesn't turn out to have been, like, I don't know, possessed by some kind of demon, it will feel weird and inconsistent. Like, it doesn't sound right to me if she just went from Snow White to, like, you know, what's her face in Fight Club?
Oh, the other one.
Marla. Is it? Yes, it's Marla.
Yeah.
There you go.
Man, the one that, oh, never mind. I won't tell you about that scene because it's kind of gross. But my favorite scene in Fight Club involves a chest of drawers, her and Brad Pitt, and an object. And it cracks me up every time I see it. Anyway, I'll leave that to everyone's imagination. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. She is who she is. We'll see how she turns out. But, man, Theramore, mana bomb. Made a big impact, it turns out. All right. Also, just a tiny little note before we move on to what's happening in some other games. The Doomhammer. If you ever thought you could take the Doomhammer on a plane, I got some bad news for you, but I have it. I can deliver it in a way that is at least a little heartening. Somebody asked the TSA on Twitter, can I bring my rechargeable power bank, the shape of the greatest orc warrior's weapon ever, Orgrim's Doomhammer, on a plane? So, you know, those Doomhammers that had USB chargers on them, that were on sale on the Blizzard store for a while. It's like a actual, not full size, but like a little Doom hammer with USB charger stuff on it.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty big. And you see his keyboard behind in this image, so you can kind of see how big it is. Anyway, TSA responded and said, we're glad you asked. Replica weapons, even those belonging to the Horde's the Horde chieftains, must be packed in checked bags. Which is kind of awesome that they understood the reference and responded in kind. It's the only time I've ever liked the TSA in my entire life.
But it's really nice. You know, it's a great PR move. Mm-hmm. There must have been someone in the community team at the TSA that actually knew what the thing was, probably a Warcraft player. Mm-hmm. And he responded exactly in the way he should have, right? He was like playful, but informative and accurate. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
It's pretty great. It made me happy to see that. So anyway, if you guys are out there wondering, should I take my Doomhammer on the plane? The answer is no. Did I ever tell you about the time post 9/11 I got a pocket knife through TSA onto the plane through the entire flight and off on the other side? And I'd forgotten it was in my bag. I didn't do it on purpose, but I'd forgot I had it in there. And they never did anything about it. They put my stuff went through the scanner, and it's a big old lock blade, like those kinds you whip out and locks like that. And somehow I got away with it. That shouldn't make anyone feel comfortable. I just wanted you to know that somehow it happened. And on the other end, I went, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. I left it there and had someone mail it to me.
That's back when you thought that the all of the checks and security thing was actually 100% accurate and was working and wasn't just to make us feel better about
stuff. I know that. I mean, I know there is that. There, you can be very cynical about that stuff, and I'm kind of that way too. But I thought a knife would show up. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree.
I understand think, if I have like a little extra liquid in some hair gel or something, big deal. But like a big block blade knife, like that seems.
Wait, how big is your pocket?
It wasn't in my pocket. It was in my carry on bag, and it was the blade's like this long. It's like a 5-inch, well, not the blade.
Oh wow,
the lock, locked. It's like this long. Then you open it, it's like that long. So I don't know. Wow. I forgot it was in there, to be honest, but. Anyway, TSA, don't send me a bunch. No one coming at my door or anything. I didn't do anything illegal. I just forgot I had it. And this was years ago, okay? So everyone calm down. I know I'm in some NSA database now. Moving on. Let's move on.
We all are, Scott.
I wanted to mention this Greg Street tweet or a series of replies to a question that he got because I think it's interesting. Now, he no longer works at Blizzard. Obviously, Ghostcrawler has moved on. He's at Riot, handles stuff for the League of Legends guys and doing great work over there and looks like you'll be at Nerdtacular this year, which I'm very excited about. Anyway, that's like 2 months away, by the way. Holy shite. I don't want to think about it right now. I have so much to do. Anyway, somebody asked him this question. I know you're an advocate for player dev communication, but when would you feel radio silence would be the best course of action? And he says, great question. Overall, I think radio silence tends to do more harm than good. So he's continues to be a proponent of transparency and communication with fans when it comes to game development. Even if your answer is, we don't know. I feel you're better off saying that than saying nothing, even if things are super heated. I feel like you're even better off saying, I care enough to try and engage than to try and wait it out and hope it cools off. So that's his general thing. But he also says this. Here's when he would advocate radio silence. So when Blizzard goes quiet, maybe these are the reasons. All right. Number one. You're trying to build hope for something or let players try and figure something out. This has to be done deliberately, though. Okay, so there's that. What would that be like? What was the Overwatch character that was like under so much secrecy?
Sombra.
Oh, Sombra, right. They may have overdone that one, but that's maybe an example of it.
They put like a hint somewhere and people are asking what it is and they don't want to say, and that might be something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Number two, someone could get hurt. If players ask me why someone got fired, or even if they got fired, I'm going to take the fifth. I don't talk about a candidate who is interviewing for fear of their current employer retaliating against them. So there's that. That makes sense. Number three.
It does make sense.
It does.
Imagine if that happened. Hey, dude, great interview. Thanks for coming to the office.
Yeah, that could be real bad, especially in the games industry where everyone knows everybody, That'd be bad. Number three, you make the situation objectively worse. I say objectively here because it's too easy to argue, well, we might just fan the flames, unquote. I'm talking about things like players want details for how a server got compromised by malware. But if you share too many details, you're just making life easier for the hackers. And fourth, he says, there are plenty of serious legal ramifications, specifically if you settle a lawsuit and the lawyers say not to say anything. This applies to insider trading stuff. I wouldn't talk about a studio we were thinking about acquiring or a software package we were thinking about licensing.
They're thinking about acquiring a studio at Riot.
There you go. Oh, my God. You guys, confirmed. Riot's buying Blizzard.
And they're interviewing people.
Yeah, they're interviewing people for their acquisition of Blizzard. That's what's happening. They're buying Blizzard. They certainly have enough money to if they wanted. Wow. So.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Tencent is probably the biggest company in gaming in the world, but Blizzard is expensive. I mean, that's probably the other biggest company or something like that.
But, you know, we're all, and I'm not saying this is bad or good, we're all going to be working for Chinese companies in like 10 years. That's how it's going to be. Everybody. Because they're buying everything. Do you hear about their Steam competitor that Tencent's making?
E-game, yeah.
Yeah, that's
a
big deal.
It already exists, but it was China exclusive, and now it's going to be everywhere. But yeah, no, I know. It's
crazy. And they already have an install base, 50 million more people than Steam has. Like, that's it's insane.
It's insane. I mean, people don't understand the importance of China in everything. And if you're interested, go follow Zhuge EX, who's an analyst on Twitter. He's super funny. He's a good guy. He was on my gaming show Pixels a few times, and he's very interested in China. If you want to keep appraised of everything that's happening there, follow him and you'll know everything. And you'll also enjoy a couple of really bad jokes in the process.
Yeah, indeed. And I love a good bad joke. So there's that. Let's talk about Overwatch.
Purveyor yourself.
Yes, purveyor of bad jokes. I can appreciate a good one when it comes my way. Oh, that Lucio music can only mean one thing, and that is it's time to talk about Overwatch and Uprising, and I like it a lot. Patrick, I'm going to let you describe it as an event and why it exists and why it's great. If you do, I don't know if you like it or not. We haven't talked about it.
How could one not? Okay, so I have to pause my slaying of demons if I'm going to be like actually focusing on the show.
Can I just say something? I'm impressed that we had such a good, intelligent conversation that entire time while you were slaying demons. That's very impressive.
Imagine how much better it could have been, though, if I had been actually not doing something else. Because I'll be honest, Diablo doesn't require a lot of attention, but it still requires more attention than a conversation on the show.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Sure.
All right. Self-deprecation aside, the Uprising event is really, really cool, and I absolutely love it. And the reason I'm saying how could someone not love it is that it's basically what everyone had been asking for in their wildest Overwatch dreams for months and months. Mm-hmm. Ever since the Junkenstein event had been unveiled during the Halloween... What was the name? Halloween Fiesta Spectacular?
Yes. Something like that. I think something like that to that effect.
Halloween Fiesta Spectacular. There you go.
Nailed
So for those who don't remember, Overwatch is a very PvP game, and that was a PvE event where four people teamed up together, set characters to take on basically what was a horde mode with a bunch of waves, and you had to survive and finish it as quickly as possible, do as much damage as possible, and there was a number of different difficulties. So people really loved it, and it was a different way of playing the game that was really interesting, and we had been asking for something like this with possibly more of a lore aspect to it, basically telling the story of Overwatch if they could, you know, something a little bit more single-player oriented, not really single-player, but campaign-oriented.
Yeah.
And what Uprising is basically all of that. It is a PvE event for people teaming up to take on a series of enemies, but not in horde mode this time. There's actually kind of a scenario happening, and it makes use of all of the mechanics of the game. You have to hold a position for a little bit, then you escort a payload, and then you just have to kill more Omnics. So already there's a fun way of using the mechanics of the game in that aspect.
It's kind of weirdly it's not a tutorial, obviously, but it's like a tutorial of everything you do in Overwatch, really. Like they could almost convert it and say, you can almost tailor that thing as a tutorial and say, all right, we got to go to the thing. And then a voice would say, this is when you have to get on the payload and bip, 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 bip. I mean, it feels like that from a weird angle. Anyway, keep going.
As Clown Baby is saying in the chat room, it's basically Left 4 Dead in Overwatch, And so the other aspect that's really cool is the lore aspect, because you are in a battle that happened in the story, in the history even of Overwatch, 7 years before the present day. That's the first mission that Tracer was on, and it's an incident that happened in King's Row in England, in London. And not only do you live through that mission, but also what struck me very much was that you're playing Torbjorn, Tracer, Mercy, and Reinhardt, and at some point there are Omnics here and there, and at some point there is a Bastion that shows up and he's trying to wreck you, and you're actually, so it makes you feel what the Overwatch team was going through during the Omnic crisis or towards the end of the Omnic crisis, right?
Yeah.
It feels like when Torbjorn then is really angry at Bastion when he's on the team. They have those, you know, those quips before the match begins, and Torbjörn is like, oh, that tin can, I'm not fighting with you, or like whatever. It's not just words. It's because a few years before, you had Bastions all around trying to murder him, and yeah, you're like, it feels really dangerous, and like they're super difficult to get. So in all of those aspects, I think the Uprising scenario is a wonderful achievement. It can get really hard. The first difficulty is trivial, but then when you go up difficulties, it gets really hard. You need coordination. You can also do it with different characters. Most of the achievements only count with the predetermined four, but you can do it with any character if you want to. I think there's nothing to criticize about the whole thing.
Yeah, I like it a lot. In fact, don't forget too, if you get in and do it the way it is with the pre-built group, that will give you a guaranteed loot box. And if you go in and do it with the any hero mode of that same scenario, you get a guaranteed loot box. So make sure you do both, right, people, if you haven't done both.
Ooh, and the skins, yeah, some of them are
so good,
super amazing.
some are a little boring. Like, you know, Reinhardt looks like a different colored skin. It's like no big deal. But some of them are amazing.
Yeah, all of the old Overwatch teams skins are a little bit boring. The fun aspect is that if you're all together and you all have the same, you know, that Overwatch skin, that Overwatch team skin, it's kind of fun. But aside from that, it's really about the Blackwatch, right? The Blackwatch Genji and Blackwatch McCree are super awesome, yeah, badass looking. So
yeah, that McCree is by far probably my favorite in the whole thing. I don't know why I like it so much, but I really like the McCree. And it's good. They're killing it as usual with the stuff. I love these events. I love the co-op stuff. How it compares to Halloween, I probably like it a little more given its mobility. I like that we're moving around and doing different things.
You're not just standing in place and waiting for enemies to arrive.
Yeah, which is good, I think. I think it's good for the game to have that difference. But yeah, it's real good. So yeah, Overwatch, catch it. It's awesome. It seems like a dumb thing to say. Everybody knows it's great. You should definitely check it out. And now, let's take a little time to talk about the game at hand, which is Heroes of the Storm. 2.0 is right around the corner. Looks like the date is the 20... What is next Tuesday?
24th? 25th?
24th, I guess. Is that right? I think so. 2.0 happens on the 24th. We didn't know it was going to be this soon. I actually thought it was going to be in May, but I was wrong. I guess Blizzard did say April, but I don't know why I didn't believe it. It seems like there's a lot to wrap your head around, and so I thought it was going to take them a little bit longer. But not only do we have Genji as the new hero coming out, and Hanamura as the new map, which is, I don't know if you've played that yet. It is awesome. Hanamura is awesome.
I haven't played the map. I've seen the presentation. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it feels, I was talking with Garrett on Pixels this week, and he was telling me it's not as crazy as it felt, you know, in the presentation, but there's so much happening with the payload and it looks, the graphically, like, it looks a little bit different as well. Mm-hmm. It feels a little bit more like fine graphics. I don't know. But
It's definitely, so here's a few things I'll say just from my playthrough or my time with it. We played it a bunch on Tuesday after Core. It's a two-lane map. It's relatively large, but it's just the two lanes. But the two lanes are wide, like big, wide-ass lanes. And I wasn't sure why that was at first until I got to play it. When these payloads spawn, and you can have up to two of them in play for either team at any given time, and they're kind of random, and you're trying to get yours to your spot and theirs to their spot, they convert to a turret at those endpoints and then fire on the enemy core. The enemy cores only have 7 hit points. And that seems like it might be a fast map. It's not. What ends up happening is they basically created a map that is no longer, it's not really a laning map. I mean, it can be. There's still advantages to taking down keeps and that sort of thing. But the focus,
so it's more like an arena.
Yeah, it's more like an arena fight. It's more like a team fight, or opportunities for team fights are just all the time. And outside of XP soak and stuff, the lanes don't matter nearly as much. It's
but
not,
you still have the minions going down the creep going down the lane.
You still
right?
have that, but
so
you
still have to pay attention.
But
to
you
that.
Have no you have no mercs or bruisers or anybody who's gonna or not bruisers, whatever they call it, the
bosses.
There is a boss and there are mercs, but they do very different things. So when you take out a merc camp, they drop an item. And this is where they've added new gameplay mechanics in it. So it might be this coin, and that coin gives you, I forgot what the ability is for the coin. Crap. Well, one of them is this dragon thing.
Oh, it's the healer, right?
Oh, that's the healer one. Right. And it makes somebody, whoever has it, if they activate it around their friends, they create some 35% sustained healing and mana regeneration. So it's actually a very helpful thing during a team fight. It's like having a Lucio and a, I don't know, Malfurion pop off at the same time or something, but for everyone in the zone. So that's really nice. There's another one when you activate it, sends out these little ghost dragon wisp things, and they reveal the three closest enemy heroes to you. So it's just like a great little vision trick. So if somebody's hiding in the weed, you'll find out and you can go get them.
It's someone who's been repeatedly killed by Valyria, that elf.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah, she's a real shithead. She's a real shithead, I like to say out loud all the time. But yeah, it's just, they're trying new things in a way that's really refreshing. And that map is really fun, like intense 20 minutes. That's about how long your match is going to last. And it is way more like, should I push our payload through? Should I fight them so they can't move theirs? Instead of, you know how in Overwatch, if you take out the team and you're now standing by their payload, if you standing there will make it move backwards. Mm. That's not what happens here.
It goes backwards even if you're not standing.
Oh,
there,
I didn't know that. So then this is the same in here. I always forget. I could never tell how that works. I thought you had to stand by it to make it go. But anyway, that's the same here then. It just kind of on its own slowly will move back if nobody's there. But they can have up to three of them pushing it, and it will be, you know, speed one, speed two, and speed three, depending on how many people are there. But there's
same in Overwatch.
Yeah, and there's really trippy... Is it only three in Overwatch, though? Or is it all five of you? Okay.
It's three max. Three for the speed. The highest speed you get is if you're three on the payload.
Now, what's great is these two payloads sometimes, the blue and red payload, can be crossing paths right in the center of the map. And when that happens, they can't move. Or one of them can't move because the other one's in the way. And the teams will just converge there, and we will fight like crazy. And if you take down a keep, you get two hit. If you take down a keep while the payload's being moved, this is the trick, then your next shot on core will be worth two hit points, not just one. If you take down another keep before you've shot off your payload, you'll get, I think it's up to a maximum of three or four, which is significant when your thing's only seven, right?
Yeah, it's seven, yeah.
It's very rare to do that. You hardly ever see it, but it's insane. Anyway, I love it. I'm doing a terrible job explaining it. The game's free. Go freaking get it. This doesn't even count how cool Genji is. He plays great. Really liked him. We go way in deep depth on core about this, so check that show out over at frogpants.com/core for all the nitty-gritty details. But suffice it to say, the new loot box system, the way the skins are going to be working, the way the currencies are going to work.
I don't think you talked about the 2.0 in the show.
I think it was here or core.
I don't think you
We haven't talked about it hardly at all. Yeah. So 2.0 the main changes are this. Loot boxes are coming this week, in fact, or next week. And that means that this complete revamp of the XP system. Think of how Overwatch works, where your character just keeps leveling. And every time you do. And at some point, the leveling stops. You know, at first it's quick. And then it's kind of, you know, spreads out so that the same XP is needed for each subsequent level. It's the same thing's going to happen here. So you're going to have a whole new level system. They're going to take all your existing XP and convert that to this new player level. So depending on how much you play the game, that will depend on what your number is when you hit it on Tuesday. That means every time you get a level, you get a loot box. Those loot boxes contain everything from skins. That means all the legendary stuff you could buy, what used to be master skins. Color tints are now considered skins. It's a bit like Overwatch in that way as well. Banners, those are thrown down automatically when you're the one that takes a merc camp or you're the one that takes a keep. And it's like your little stamp of I'm awesome that comes and lands right in the center of where the core or the thing was. They're sprays. You put them on the ground. They're temporary because they don't want people just spamming everywhere. But there's all sorts of, you know, theme stuff. There are voice packs for the actual game itself. And probably a bunch more of those on their way right now. They're, you know, limited, but a bunch of those. And I'm trying to remember what else. Oh, emotes are in the system now. So you can send emotes through the chat interface, which seems dumb, but it actually works really well in the game. And what else?
Well, there's the thing that they talked about yesterday, I think. The what do they call the mega bundles?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah, that's new.
Which is awesome, especially for people here who might not have played a lot and don't really know the game. That's your chance to get in. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Explain. They're going to give you enough of these gems. It's the new in-game currency. It's their space points, basically, that will let you buy one of these bundles. And these bundles are, it's up to 20 characters for free, depending on who you don't have, which is insane. Like, that's just crazy. That's almost half the roster. Like, it's insane. And some of the bundles have some crossover, like Sylvanas shows up in two of them, but they're kind of categorized by type of player so that you can zero in on the ones that you maybe feel the best about their playstyle or whatever. But even me, I've got, I don't know, probably six characters I don't own. I'm going to somehow get those in a bundle. I can't wait.
So yeah, same for me. What happens if you have almost all of the characters in the bundle? Like, I guess we shouldn't be too greedy. They actually give you enough gems to get one of those bundles, so it's just free characters. But like, if you have almost all the characters already, you don't, I don't know, get some extra gems after spending them on the bundle? Well,
they do. It'll
you
be,
buy the bundle and that's it.
No.
It's, you already had, were too bad.
No, it's a good question, because it used to be, back before they did the adjusted bundle stuff, if you bought a bundle and you already had two of the characters in it, you still spent the same amount of money for the bundle.
It was less expensive, right?
Yeah, they changed that to be less expensive. The same will be true here. You'll get whatever gems you get back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and let's assume that none of the bundles work for you at all. Let's say you have all the characters. Just save it for the next character that comes out, or save it for the next thing you want to buy. Like, there's so much stuff to buy now. You can buy mounts. You can buy skins. You can buy everything. Sprays, voice packs, all that stuff. Or you can unlock them in loot boxes. Like, it's like, you know, Overwatch has their weird currency. It's the same idea. Yeah. It's awesome. I love it. I played it on the PTR for a few weeks now. I think it's going to be great. I think Genji's really great. I think Hanamura's brilliant.
Gonna get another peek at another character already, like in a few days, right?
Yeah,
they're revealing another one,
like an advent calendar. So the next thing is a character reveal. I think Tuesday we're supposed to get a brand new, like, full blown cinematic for the game.
I saw that,
which is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
especially
it's really a relaunch, like as close you can. Well, it is a relaunch, but
yeah, I mean the core game is still the game, right? We're still gonna be playing played. With, you
the
know,
gameplay doesn't change at all, basically.
Not
except
really.
For the new map, whatever.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, there have obviously been a lot of changes to the gameplay over time, but that's just always been there. So this is just a kind of a relaunch of what the game is from the get-go. And I couldn't be more excited. The game's never been in better shape. By the way, the rumors floating around is D.Va is the next hero. I don't know if there's any substantiation to that claim, but she's very interesting to me as a Heroes player. I want to see what she is in there. We're also due a warrior about now, so that'd be good.
Do a what?
We're due a warrior, meaning we haven't had a warrior in a long time. It's all.
I thought you meant duo, like two.
No, not like Varian. Varian's the only one they've attempted that with.
A warrior. Okay.
Sure, but I think that they'll probably do a warrior next. We've had a string of assassins, which has been fine. They've all been pretty great, but yeah, everyone's very much looking forward to what potentially D.Va might mean. And again, very thick and rich detailed commentary about what's happening in that game at frogpants.com/core. So if this cursory look is not enough for you, you can certainly find way more there with me and my co-host John and Bo. Let's talk about what else. Oh, geez. Let's see. Oh, I know. How about this? Oh, music. I know what that is. Have you played this Un'Goro Crater stuff? Have you been into it?
I didn't. I launched the game once, and it felt a little bit like it was too much to handle as a returning player after maybe a year. Mm. So I'm not exactly sure I will get into it. I think, again, Garrett, who knows very much about that stuff, said that the easiest way to get back into it was probably to go play Arena. And I have a bunch of gold, so I can easily get into, get a bunch of arenas. But they changed a couple of patches ago. They changed the way the arena works to be standard.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about the wild format, which includes everything. The standard format is only going to be the current stuff. So you can go play arena and it's going to be just the current stuff. So you're going to see a lot of the new stuff and you don't necessarily need to worry about buying the packs, how many packs I'm going to have and how I'm going to build my deck. And I think it's probably a good way of getting back into it and learning, obviously you're not going to be doing great initially, but learning the mechanics and seeing what works and what doesn't. And so if you're returning to it, I think it might be a good idea to do it like that. N'Goro itself does feel really interesting as an expansion. They have a bunch of new mechanics in there, like the quests. Basically, the way the quests work is, I can't remember if we already talked about it on the show, but the way the quests work is that you play a card in the beginning of whenever you get it, but then you have to complete a certain criteria, like play X number of death rattle cards or whatever, some criteria, and something happens when you do. So it's really, again, an interesting mechanic and a different, not knowing, these types of games. I don't really know if that happens in any other game like this, in Magic, for example.
Sure.
But from the point of view of Hearthstone, it's really a refreshing, different kind of thing that I'm not excited. I would be lying if I was saying I'm excited, but it feels like intriguing. So if I ever get some free time in my gaming world, which seems to never be ever happening again in 2017, I'll check it out with I'll be happy to check it out with the arena. So there you go.
Dill screwed me up because right around the time N'Goro was coming out, he had said we were talking about other alternate CCGs that he liked and that I liked, and I was messing around with the Elder Scrolls one and all that, and he recommended this game called Eternal, which is on Steam and is made by the same developers or at least publisher that did the Elder Scrolls game. And I got totally hooked on it, and I haven't even touched Hearthstone since. So I don't know what's going on, but Eternal has like taken my attention away from Hearthstone a bit in a way I didn't.
How is it? What's the pitch? How is it different?
The pitch is a totally different resource system. You gain ability / mana points as the levels or as the turns go, just like in Hearthstone, except you can also add land to your turn in the same way. Well, not land, but mana with cards.
Right, so, like land in
like Magic. Yeah. So they've taken like a chunk of Magic, a little chunk of Hearthstone, and they've created something that's very reliant. In fact, one of the main points of the game, and everyone keeps talking about, is there's zero RNG in this thing. RNG cards, I should say. And a lot of players seem to like that. I think I like that. Whatever. I don't have enough depth to say that I really like it or don't, but I just know that my time with that so far has been really fun. The parts I like that they took from Hearthstone is the presentation. It's like very poppy, explosive, visceral feeling when the cards attack things, when something gets enhanced. It's all very animated, very explosive. Opening new cards is very satisfying. So I think they definitely took a card from Blizzard's deck in that regard. Yeah, I know. I had to do the quotes and everything. And then the other thing I like about it is the attack. I don't know what other games do this, but you mark your minions for the ones you want to attack, and then they attack what they want to attack. So it's kind of hard to explain, but...
Wait, what?
I know, it's weird. So I'll choose... let's say I've got four minions out there, and he's got two minions, and I can go and select each minion and tell it I want it to be on attack mode or not. And I can tell which ones not to. But this is during my turn. So I've placed some cards, maybe. I've done some stuff. And then maybe I've enhanced something. And now I go and I click them, and they get these, like, barbs on them. They go shink, and they get, like, these, like, almost, like, yellow glowing Wolverine claws on the outside of the cards. And then then I hit the attack button. And now they go and they attack what makes sense. And I don't know exactly how they're choosing, but I know that when he then he gets to choose. If he's got a card that is capable of guarding, he can turn that ability on right then. After I've made my move, he's got like a mini turn where he says, oh, well, I want my thing with six
left
to guard.
Oh, so you have the interrupt thing.
Yeah, so then my stuff's forced to attack it. But if there's none of that on the board, or once I've cleared any kind of guards, they seem to just sort of go, well, I'll hit the minion, but this one's going to go hit the boss, and this one's going to go back to a minion, and this one will hit the boss twice. And like, it seems to have a little bit of that going on. I don't exactly understand the rules.
That seems very confusing to me.
It seems like it, but it feels really good. Something about it feels good, and I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But, so thanks, Dills. It's your fault. Mr. Hearthstone over there talked me into playing a competing CCG, and I really like it. Anyway, there's that. Patrick, what's going on in... Diablo, everybody. Diablo. It's the primeval. Baal used to have a brother and all that. We're going to talk about Diablo for a second. The closed beta for the Necromancer is happening right now, and I did not get in because no one loves me. I'm so ticked, but it's okay. I talked to the lead on the team has contacted me and said, dude, I don't know what happened. I apologize. I've got you on the list now. So I will probably
God, because you would be trashing Diablo if they hadn't assured you that you would get in.
Well, I've been playing it since
they know.
So they did the like closet update with the, you know, your armory deal. And they did the other update with like keeping all your crafting materials in its own bank and that stuff. They also made it so they're no longer like bounties that are bonus ones. You don't get in and go, oh, this is a bonus bounty, and go do those because you get two caches. Now it's just one cache per place. It's a big fat one. Tyrael gives it to you. You poop it out and you got a bunch of goods, right? Simple, easy, yeah. Makes you play everything. It's less focused on which one's the bonus. So I've been playing it with my wizard, having a blast. No season 10 character this time. I'm just working on the wizard who I always keep having there. He's my main, and I just want to play him, right? So as far as he's concerned, he's getting the benefits of all the previous seasons plus the crap I've unlocked during those seasons. So that's what I'm focusing on at this moment. Necro probably hits, when we get season 11? Probably. When
I'm
it's
guessing,
public.
How long are seasons? It's 3 months?
Usually 3 months, but I want to say 9 was shorter, but I could be wrong about that. It's just the way. Also, time for me is shorter in general. I don't know if that's an age thing or what, but yeah.
That's probably because you're closer to the speed of light.
Is that how it is? Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Screw science.
Screw physics.
Yeah, screw physics and science. They can all F off. But anyway, so you've been playing it. I really would like to know your impressions because you've got full talent tree and everything now, right?
Full what?
Well, the Necro at BlizzCon only had like some basics in there, and now it's the full meal deal.
Yeah. So, basically, just so you know, I did not get into Diablo 1 or 2. I didn't really play them. Maybe, you know, like a month or something. Not even. I don't think I finished either. Mm-hmm. So I really am not, I wasn't into Diablo before the third one came out, and I have no connection with the Necromancer. And when we tried it at BlizzCon, of course I tried him for like 5 or 10 minutes, and I was like, whatever, I don't care about this. And I really was not impressed. So when the beta started, I got in, thanks to, you know, the how did we put it before the show started, like I spent 5 years at Blizzard trying to make people think I liked them so that they would invite me in betas. It worked. They invited me in this one, and so I figured, you know, I'm gonna give it a try, whatever. I'm like, as we said, I was in the dark, in it wasn't a fun time. And I figured I'm gonna try the Necro. It's gonna pass time, whatever. And so I created Edgelord. That's why that name was in my mind earlier. Edgelord, the super emo Necro. And I figured, I really thought I was going to play for half an hour. And I ended up bringing him to level 40, I think, which for me is not half an hour. It was a few hours at least. And having, honestly, a blast. And I think it's two things. It's one, the rediscovering, not even rediscovering, but the refinding the fun in Diablo, which I've played like, I don't know, 300-400 hours of that game. So it's not like I don't know the fun that Diablo can be. But as we said, I hadn't played it for at least a year, at least. And I just, it came back, the fun, the simplicity of it, the joy of exploding everything around you came back to me. And the other thing is, the Necro is really fun.
Yeah.
It's not in the beta right now. They took him out because they're making some changes. There was a couple of bugs, a couple of issues. But playing the Necro feels really fun. Like you have an army, not an army. It's not a huge amount of minions, but there's a good number, even at level 40. And the way it works is that you have essence, which you get by doing some of the skills, and then you have the corpses, and the corpses of the enemies you kill, you can use to do different things. Either you're going to use it as a resource to raise skeletons, or my personal favorite is revive, which is actually reviving the enemies themselves. Most of them are implemented in that you raise the ones you just killed, and the models at this are the same for most of them. And you raise them to fight for you for, I don't know, 6-10 seconds, something like
are
that.
They, so, are they like are they zombified, like looking all kind of haggard and stuff? Or are they just the normal models of the?
No, they're a different color, but they're basically they probably have different shaders or different colors, but they're basically the same models.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have your own skeletons. And you have your the ones you raise, right. And a bunch of, like, you can do corpse explosion, of course, which is joyful,
yeah.
Because you, as I'm sure it was like that in the second one, but you make corpse explosion, which does a ton of damage, and so you kill other mobs, which then turn into corpses that you can explode again. It's like a wonderful chain reaction of death. And it's, that is super fun. But when you raise them as well, you're like running around having your minions kill everything and basically using the death of your enemies to kill more of your enemies. It's amazing.
Yeah. Even at BlizzCon, where you only had the limited, you know, we had limited selection of we only had one thing per key. So we weren't into all the talents yet or anything or any of the runes. And even that just felt so utterly satisfying, just to run into a space and have all your skeletons swarm on something and attack it. Like, it, the feeling of the Necro in 2 is there for sure, and I cannot wait. I am so irritated that everyone else has it.
Well, it's not in the beta right now, so even if you get in today, you're not going to be able to play him.
All right.
So
fair enough.
Don't
fret.
And so there's that, and again, you know, the system of Diablo 3, which was very much decried in the beginning because people were so attached to the second one and whatever. But having all of those skills that you can use in different ways and change whatever you want, and the different runes, like, you can go full, like, melee necro. You can, there's tons of variations, and you can find different kinds of fun in each character. That's the same for every character, but just with the Necro, it's another flavor of that.
Yeah.
So there's also, I could talk about the Necro for a while, but I also want to talk about the challenge rifts, which are really interesting. Do you know about this?
Uh-uh. Tell me more. So, why do I not know about challenge? Oh, no, maybe I do. Explain it in the way you know it, and then maybe I just don't remember what it was called.
Well, they talked about it at BlizzCon, so you probably heard about it before. But again, you know, it's one of those things that was overshadowed by the silly old school retro Diablo event, which ended up being underwhelming, or actually wasn't. It wasn't under or overwhelming.
It's just whelming. It's just whelming.
It was just whelming, exactly.
Yeah.
So what happens is that they select one specific iteration of a rift with one for one player every week or whatever.
Yeah.
And they give you that player's complete kit with abilities and armor, you know, weapons and armors and items, and everything's the same. And the rift is the same every time. It's the exact same layout and the exact same everything. And then you get to try and beat and do the fastest time in that rift for your you know, that week. So you have a competition between your friends or between the region or all of this, and you have time to perfect your run on that rift and to start to know and understand it. And that's already fun because, you know, it's another way of doing a competition, high level competition, without you having to get all the gear. But beyond that, it gives you a chance to experience a certain type of gameplay that you might not have gotten into otherwise. Because as we know in Diablo, the different, you know, when you have a specific build with specific items, it changes the gameplay completely. And that gives you an opportunity to try out a certain type of character that you wouldn't have tried out otherwise.
Interesting.
And that's a really clever way of doing it.
I agree. It's almost like they're taking notes from the Heroes team on how arenas get people to do that. You know, you take
these—they're
not arenas, brawls. You take like
the brawls.
You pick from three characters you've never played before, and you're like, "Oh, I don't know him." And then suddenly, you're like, "Ooh, I kind of like him." And now you're buying him and playing him, and
yeah, exactly. And so I did that for a few hours, and then I was like, "Man, Diablo's awesome. I'm gonna go play Diablo." Yeah. And so I took out my old wizard for a run. He's Tel Russia wizard, roughly. Torment 10, something like that. And I was, you know, having fun, but there was a bunch of stuff that I didn't understand. I stopped playing before Kanai's Cube and like all of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's a lot.
And so someone said, you know, you should play Seasons, like do a Seasons character. And I was like, a season? What? No, I don't want to. And they were like, well, you get a 6-piece, you know, set at the end if you do all the things. I was like, well, what? Wait,
yeah.
Okay, six. All right, I'll do that. And I've been having lots and lots of fun with my barbarian. It's like my second or third barbarian, and going through the season, it's really fun. And I got the set, and I'm using it's a Furious Charge build. And my previous barbarian was obviously Whirlwind, because that's what you do when you're cool and you're a barbarian. But so I had, when I'm talking about the different types of fun in different gameplays that you have in this game, I had no idea that the barbarian could be played like that as well. And the Furious Charge barbarian is incredibly fun. And you get that. I mean, this is old news, you know, it's Diablo, but it grabbed me again. And I'm exploding hundreds and thousands of mobs and loving every second of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't know, 25 hours into my season 10 barbarian, Paragon 200 almost. Oh, so yeah, I'm having lots of fun, and Diablo has grabbed me again. And it's cyclical, you know?
It is.
I'm sure I'll get back to something else afterwards, and I'm playing Overwatch as well, and it's just...
It's the way it goes. I'm glad it's just always this friend you can go back to and play, and it's always there for you. It's ready to do what you need to do, and they've been making steady improvements. By the way, the management of the Instance Podcast would just like to state for the record, Patrick pulling out his dusty old wizard is not a euphemism. All right, moving on. We're going to talk briefly about this game here. You know this one. Maybe. Maybe not. This is the wrong song. But it's okay, though, because I couldn't find the right one. It's StarCraft, everybody. StarCraft. I can't believe we're talking about StarCraft. StarCraft Remastered is coming this summer, and it's going to be free. This all happened while we weren't here. 4K up-res, the integration with Blizzard app, the app, and being able to play with people online and all that stuff. So the rumors are true. This is old news. But what's new is earlier this week, they launched a updated version. Oh, this is StarCraft. Listen. Hold on.
It's a very weird cover.
Yeah, it's like a jazz version or something. I think this might be Andrew Allen. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is, they put out a patch for the first time in 8 years for the game of StarCraft 1 and Brood War that made it not only, you know, up to whatever tech standard they need, but also made it so it would run on all modern computers that you could download for free today. It made it free. Terpster made a joke online saying I should have waited 19 years. I could have gotten it for free.
I think that was a Heroes joke for all the people angry at 2.0 and the loot system thing.
Oh, it might have been. That's a good point. But anyway, I also think this is just a multi-layered approach where they're like, all right, the groundwork for that game is already, it already exists. We need people to get it, download it, and have it. And then we'll just insert graphics and stuff in the summer, and everyone's got StarCraft Remastered. All right, so that's the news. But the bigger question I have for you is, weirdly, and I think StarCraft 2 is great, but weirdly, I haven't been this excited about an RTS in a while. Like, I'm really stoked about Brood War. I loved Brood War. I played the shit out of it back in the day.
That's why. That's the reason.
So, if that's the... okay, bigger question. If there are people like me, does StarCraft 1 Remastered, given that it will have full online functionality and all the stuff you expect out of those things, and ranking and other things, at least I think it will, is it possible that this is Blizzard's opportunity to revive it as a viable competitive esport on its own, even though it never really left in Korea, but let's say a renewed interest in classic StarCraft, given that StarCraft II's popularity as an esport has drifted down some? Do you think that's what's going on here, or do you think that's a bunch of hooey and it's just a thing they're doing?
Well, let me answer your question in very clear terms.
All right.
No.
All right.
No, I don't think... Listen, it's... I mean, again, we were talking about this with Garrett on Pixels. We keep referencing other shows here, but that's what we do. We were talking about this, and he made the point that there are probably going to be lots of tournaments for like 3 months in StarCraft 1 because of the nostalgia factor. And fair enough. And yes, in Korea, where they're still playing StarCraft 1, they're probably going to be using that upgraded version, I'm sure. But I very much doubt that this is going to become an ongoing thing, like beyond what StarCraft is today. I can't imagine. You know, the reason StarCraft isn't being played anymore as much as it was is not that StarCraft II did this or that. It's that the world of esports has moved on to MOBAs and FPSs and other stuff like that. So I might be wrong, but I don't see it happening.
I think they have a couple of benefits for doing this. Because first of all, you have to ask the question, why are they doing it at all? If it's free, then what's the benefit to Blizzard? Is it just goodwill? Maybe.
Well, okay, wait a second. The old version is free.
The old version is free.
The new version isn't free. The remastered version that's coming out this summer is going to be sold for actual money.
I don't think that's true. I think remastered is also free. Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Hold on. Remastered. I got to find something here. Maybe there's some confusion on the messaging, but I swear.
I think there's some confusing in your head.
Well, how do you know about this? Because this is confusing. How do you know about it being not free? Because everything I read says...
I'm pretty sure they said it was not... Or they didn't talk about the price, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be free.
Okay, so if it's
maybe not... they didn't mention it, but in that case, I'm... How do you say it? I'm calling it! StarCraft Remastered is not going to be free. And then when it isn't, I'm going to be referencing this until the end of time.
Okay, here's what TechSpot says. I don't know who they are. It's a website. All right. They do tech things. I don't know. So I can't speak to their, you know, whatever. But they say play StarCraft for free with updated graphics. It says here, as of patch, whatever. I want to get the right thing here. Has been updated, now available as free as of this morning.
The old version, not the remastered version.
No, I know that. And then it says a fully remastered version with 4K graphics is also in the works, slated for release later this year. Oh, at a cost. Shit! All right, but you got to admit that headline's bad. The headline says play StarCraft for free with updated graphics, because there are no updated graphics in the old one. It's the same,
Mr. Johnson.
It's the same game.
If we have learned anything from 2016, it's that we shouldn't form opinions based on headlines alone.
That's a good point. Right? No, you're wrong. You're not wrong. I have been operating on this mistruth for about 2 weeks now. And I've said a lot of dumb things on the air on various shows about it, because I thought that I thought what they were saying was it's free for everybody when that comes out, and also this update's for free, so it's all going to kind of lead together and be the same core game on your hard drive. But If that's not the case, that's different. This is a for-profit thing, then they aren't doing it out of the goodness of their heart or as a way to spark like a weird esports thing. So I you're not wrong. I think you're right. Damn it. I hate when you're right, but I think you're right.
That's all right. It happens.
Scott sometimes. Johnson, Civ the Great makes a good point in the chat. He says, Scott Johnson, shit wizard. You're right. I'm a shit wizard. All right, let's move on. It's exciting though, right? I mean, whatever. It's StarCraft. It'll be fun.
Yeah. It's exciting. And just also, I'm guessing that we're going to see the other, you know, Trinity games remastered as well, like Warcraft and Diablo. I think we're going to see them remastered at some point.
Yeah, they're all coming. And mm-hmm. there ain't nothing you can do about it. Or maybe there is. Doesn't matter, because here's this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
The Town Crier is indeed here. It's an email. We got an email sent to us at theinstance@gmail.com. And this comes from Necronok. Necronok. Is that how you'd say that?
Probably.
Necronok. He says, hey guys, Necronok here. I have a quick question. What do you think the likelihood is that the secret project all these people inside Blizzard have moved to is yet another attempt at a new MMO in the market? Possible? Not possible? Love to get your take. Necronok. All right. So we know that this is there. That is the case. There's a new team formed at Blizzard, super secret. Bunch of people have moved there, including the former heads of Russell
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft, but also Russell. So Tom Chilton, who wore his pants tucked in to a t-shirt? Why can't I think of his name? Heroes guy.
All of Blizzard.
The former StarCraft guy. All of Blizzard.
Oh, Browder.
Browder. Russell Browder. He was a champion.
No, not
of the,
Russell. Dustin.
They're Dustin Browder. Dustin Browder. My brain isn't working. Dustin Browder.
Corey Stockton, I think, went to the other. But just to be clear, I don't think it's one team. I think it's the new department that Alan Adham is heading, and I think there might be multiple teams in there. I mean, we don't know, but I think it's a number.
This
of
is that
teams.
Think tank thing, maybe.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So that's number one. That's maybe the greater possibility is that this think tank is a different thing, and they've taken some of their top talent to work on ideas in there. It is possible, however, that one of those teams forming therein, or maybe the entire thing, is focused on something like an MMO, but I don't think so. I think that Blizzard would have pushed all the way through with what Overwatch was originally intended to be if they thought there was going to, if the right financial conditions existed for a new MMO. I don't know all the details about why that thing crashed and burned, but I think part of it was that. They weren't sure the market would bear that. Plus, do they really want to split their audience? Plus, all kinds of questions about MMOs right now and the current state of video games.
Honestly, I'm not sure. The market thing, I don't think matters all that much. They would have found a way of making it work with maybe a different business model. Maybe it would have been free to play. Maybe it would have been, you know, less expensive. I don't know. I think the bigger problem is that they didn't think it was good enough. Yeah. And if they didn't think it was good enough with however many people were on that team for however long, I doubt they're going to jump back in immediately. And not only are they, clearly the world has moved on from MMOs and it's a little bit too early to bring them back. And also the stigma of that experience of that team and the biggest failure of Blizzard, thankfully, you know, Overwatch came out of that, but it's still a big failure internally. I don't think anyone is going to think we're going to jump into a big scale MMO so soon. Mm. So I don't see that happening, especially given how successful smaller scale projects like Hearthstone and Overwatch are being right now. Mm-hmm. Even Overwatch, which has, you know, taken the world by storm, it's a, you know, big enough game, but it's still much, much smaller than something like an MMO, and it's making tons of money.
By Blizzard standards, it's a smaller game. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so in the chat room, Kappa Slasher is saying Destiny 2. And, you know, that might be a version of some multiplayer co-op game they're doing. I mean, not Destiny 2, but something akin to that. But that's not an MMO, though. I mean, if anything, the one thing that people are very angry about with Destiny, it's that it's not an MMO. It's instanced. It's small social hubs. You don't have servers. You don't have a persistent world. So I could see that happening for sure, like a much, a co-op multiplayer game. Yes. And I think I would love to see that coming from Blizzard, because PvP is great, but I also love the PvE aspects. Yeah. By the way, I'm wondering what I'm pretty sure that Diablo 4 is in the works as well. Yeah. And that is very intriguing.
Oh, it's because it's incredibly intriguing. I wonder what that game even, I mean, what does that game look like in terms of structure? They've learned so much during the time of 3 and what's worked, what hasn't, and all that. I don't know what 4 is. I don't know.
Do they even make it like not isometric?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. And maybe they're doing something else, God knows. But since they're not, they don't seem to be putting out another expansion for Diablo 3. I'm guessing it's Diablo 4 they're working on. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Do you think we get any kind of announcements at BlizzCon that's like that significant, like a D4 or something?
Because
I don't know anything that's in the works. Like what?
So, When did Reaper of Souls come out? It was 2014,
early 14, yeah.
So Reaper of Souls, yeah, that's a bit short. 3 years for 3 years to develop a game, maybe. Yeah, it's possible. I guess it's possible. It would be 3.5 years. They could announce it and say beta next year. That could happen.
They did a bunch of hires for Diablo stuff, so I don't know. I feel like we haven't had a BlizzCon in a while that had a huge announcement. It's not been since Overwatch's announcement that.
Well, that was a couple of years ago. Well, so
it was like 2013, right? 13, I think.
No, what? Overwatch? Yeah. No. That was 2015.
14. I mean, announcement.
15, and they said beta next year. No, it was 14. It was the year I left Blizzard.
No, nope, I got it. Because now I know why. Here's why. The year I had dinner with Metzen, the first time I had dinner with Metzen was the year of the Overwatch announcement. And then the next year, we had dinner again. And then he wasn't there the next year. So that had to be 2014.
No. Well, yeah, 14. Yeah. No, it's 15. What? No, it's 14. You're right.
Yeah, he announced it. That's very confusing. They announced it in 2014. It is 14. That is correct. So they announced it in 2014, released it in 2016. So if they announced something, I mean, if they did announce something this year,
they could release it in 2018, which means 4 years apart. It could happen. But I think it's unlikely. We might see something else. I don't know, because that incubator thing, that think tank, was formed. Apparently, they announced Adham joined last year, so it must be like what, about a year now. You can't announce a game after a year, especially if the idea of that think tank is think tank incubator is to try out new things and see if they work out.
Sure,
but maybe there's another team that had been working on other stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They had Diablo team hire stuff that were for mystery projects for Diablo before the Adham announcement. So that's entirely possible.
But maybe they even had another team, because the teams we know of are team one is StarCraft.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Team two is WoW. Uh-huh. Is it?
Yep.
Team three. What is team three?
Team three is Diablo.
Diablo. Team four is
Heroes of the Storm and StarCraft.
God, I forgot. No,
that's Team One.
StarCraft is Team One.
But so is Heroes.
God,
I forget.
I can't believe I forgot the names of.
Yeah, you used to be, but you're the worst XPR person I know.
I know. So Team Five is Hearthstone, and Team Six, whatever.
Team Six is Overwatch, right?
Probably. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have 6 games. The last game they announced is Overwatch, and that's 6 teams. Maybe there's a team 7.
Oh, there could be.
That had been working in parallel with, once Hearthstone came out. Because the thing is, the team that worked on Overwatch is basically the team that had been working on Titan. Mm. So that team was there before already. It's not like a new team that formed for Overwatch. So the last team that formed was the Hearthstone team, team 5, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so that was a while ago because Hearthstone came out a long time ago, 2012, 13, something like
was
that.
Was it 13?
Oh my gosh, I think so. My timeline so is all they, jacked up.
Yeah, so that's 4 years at least. I can't believe, or maybe it's possible, but I guess it's possible that they had another team form after the release of Hearthstone, thinking, yeah, this kind of small iterative, like small projects seem to be working out. It doesn't cost a lot to research. Let's make another team. And maybe that team is getting to the point where they can present something now.
Hearthstone.
The point is...
Hearthstone, March 11th, 2014, by the way, was the release date.
Okay. Yeah, but it had been in beta for so long.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's almost like... Yeah. But anyway, the point is, we have no idea, is the take.
Yeah, we really haven't helped Ragnarok or whatever his name is very well, but that's fine.
For the MMO, I don't think so. No, the MMO, I don't think it's going to happen. I would say no.
Right. When did they announce Hearthstone? That's what I'm curious about. Was that 20...
Well, it was at PAX East 2012?
Oh, my gosh. They formed the team in June of 2008.
That info's public?
It is according to the Hearthstone Wiki. Says Team 5 is created and development of Hearthstone begins. Ben Brode states that his first records are from June 2008, but that full-on development didn't start until a while after that. 2010, Dodds and Brode produced the first working version of Hearthstone using Flash. So that goes way back.
Yeah, basically, I didn't realize that was public, so I guess I can talk about it now. When I joined Blizzard in 2009... Basically, of course, you know, the first or second day, people told me what the company was working on. And there was, of course, you know, StarCraft II, Diablo III, the expansions, blah, blah, blah. And then they were like, there's this little project. At the time, it was called Pegasus. I believe, you know, the code name. All the games had mythical creatures names, like Diablo was Hydra, I think, or that kind of thing. And they were like, well, it's this small playing card game. I was like, what the? Okay, whatever. I really don't care about this. It's not going to be dumb. And of course, as you know, I ended up playing that game nonstop for 2 years. Yeah. But yeah, so that was a while ago, and the team was working on other stuff, helping out on other games. So it took a really long time for the actual game to come out. Yeah. And I would not be surprised if they had that. I actually don't know, so I'm not, you know, revealing anything. But I really wouldn't be surprised if at that point they had multiple different teams working on stuff, and maybe only Hearthstone came out of it, and maybe some other teams were working on other stuff that were interesting, or at least the idea of having those small teams was interesting to the company. And maybe that's where the Adham department came from, and maybe they had other projects that were advanced and that they're now ready to show. So
right.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, I'm digging through this and I just realized that everything, I'm looking at other timelines, everything Blizzard makes takes forever. We don't always know about it because it takes years to tell anyone. But like sometimes this stuff's in development for 8 years and then they announce it. And it's like, shite. Holy crap, they work for a long time on this stuff.
I really think there's a difference between pre-2012 Blizzard and post-2012 Blizzard.
Yeah.
After Diablo came out, they were like, all right, we're not going to do this again. Right. And Hearthstone, yes, it was in development forever, but really they started serious work on it in, what was it, 2012, 11? Yeah. That I don't know. So I'm relying on your, you know, source to.
Sure. 2012 was the announcement. 2013 was the release.
But they really started prototyping in 2010, something like that. So it was 2 or 3 years. Overwatch was also relatively short. And yes, they had some work on Titan, but it was also it was redone from the get-go. So I do think they don't want to spend 8 years developing one game again.
I agree with that.
Diablo, that was restarted like 3 times, and Titan, that was a spectacular failure. I think they don't want to do that again. So I wouldn't be surprised if 2 or 3 years, maybe 4, is a more common development.
They have to be more fluid in today's very competitive gaming market, and I think that's how they'll do it, and they have been doing that. So I agree with you 100% on that. One final thing I was going to say about that, and what was it? It was that I don't remember. Great.
Well, one thing I can add is that regarding development time, you have to remember how big of a earthquake WoW was for the company. I mentioned this from time to time, but I think from 2004 to 2010, all the company was working on was growing the company itself to accommodate the needs of the juggernaut that was WoW.
Yeah.
And that put everything else, maybe not on hold, but really in slow motion. So that's also another explanation was why games took so long to develop in the meantime, I think.
The one day there needs to be a book, and it's going to be awesome, and I can't wait to read it, about what WoW did to everyone's life there. I'm going to say, I know what I was going to say. I just hope one day we get to, I just want to see that Flash version of Hearthstone in action. I just want to see what it looks like. That weird prototype Flash version would be very interesting for me to see.
I think they showed it in a couple of,
there were stills, maybe not
the Flash version, but early versions.
Yeah. There were some old stills and like,
yeah,
Brode had talked about like a PowerPoint presentation where he just faked all the graphics, like little squares and stuff to represent things. And that's interesting, but I want to see like actual, like some YouTube leaked video of the Flash version of Hearthstone. That would be great. Circa 2009. Oh, yeah. Like that was a long time ago. Anyway, it's going to do it for the show. Big thanks for the email. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address. You can send your own in. We're happy to read them right here on the show. So thanks again, Nakranok. Patrick, before we go, anything you would like to send people's squinties or ear holes to?
Not sure I want to do that, but all right, I'll give it a try. Right. Well, I talked about Pixels a number of times during the show. So if you haven't gotten the hint yet, go listen to Pixels. It's a fun show about gaming news in general. We had our friend Garrett Weindrell on the show this week, and we covered a bunch of stuff, the Xbox Scorpio, Persona 5, a number of announcements, including Destiny 2, Battlefront 2, and of course, a lot of stuff about Blizzard. So go check that out. It's available in all of your podcast apps. The name is Pixels, and you can also find it at frenchspin.com, which is the show that hosts the site that hosts my shows.
Yeah, and you and I did a bunch of things on there for like E3 last year. We'll probably do it again this year. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. Yeah.
So, it's coming up. June is in what? It's 2 months away.
It's like 2 months away.
When is E3?
E3 is in June or July. I don't know.
It's not
the weekend of Nerdtacular. It's fine. we're good.
The end, right?
Yeah, but we're at the very end of that month.
When is E3?
E3 is June's day or day of time. I don't know.
13. So it's basically less than 2 months away.
Good Lord.
Right. Microsoft has their conference on the 11th. So it's coming up.
Yeah.
It's 6 weeks.
Yeah. E3 is big deal. Looking forward to that.
A lot. During YouTube.
Yeah, I love when you are doing these simulcasts with me and you get really tired and you swear a lot. It's my favorite thing. So we're looking forward to that. Everybody check that out. In the meantime, theinstance.net is our website. You can go there, be there, hang out there, get all the stuff you need there. It's all linked right there. Big thanks to everybody who listened live and those at home and everyone on YouTube, wherever you're at. We love you all. Instance Show on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Patrick's at Not Patrick. And you can find more shows like this over there at frogpants.com. And there's a lot over there right now, so do check that out. I think that's... Oh, there's an Overwatch tournament coming up called Overpants. It's a Frog Pants Overwatch tournament. Details to come on how you and your team can participate. There will be prizes and mostly fun. So details to come on that. Maybe even Patrick will end up on your team. Who knows? But for me, for Patrick, and for those other two chuckleheads, we'll see you next time.
Bye!
Unexpected labor issues pose problem for Legion invasions. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. After months of wondering where the armies of the Legion had gotten to, the Alliance and Horde forces in the Broken Shores awoke earlier this week to find the skies filled with invasion ships and the ground full of demons. But oddly, 6 hours later, they all vanished, not to reappear till the following day. This part-time battle concept stands in stark contrast to last summer, when the Legion was able to mount attacks simultaneously on multiple fronts across all of Azeroth.
Curious as to this change in strategy, ODN fired up its best scrying devices to see what it could learn. And boy, did we find something big. It turns out that the demons, imps, and other fell employees of the Legion have unionized, and their current contract states that Kil'jaeden can only make them work one invasion a day. Furthermore, it appears that the minions' lust for battle is very fickle, so sometimes the day's invasion happens when the vast majority of Azeroth's heroes are away at their day jobs, schools, etc. If you miss that 6-hour window, too bad for you. I personally attempted to ask a Legion spokesimp if this strategy of off-hour attacks made any sense at all. The imp simply berated me as too stupid to understand his master's plans, tried to sprinkle me with barbecue sauce, and closed by screeching that any further questions should be directed to the Legion Department of Infernal Affairs.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at overlydramaticnews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.